Support for KSJD's streaming comes from Osprey PAX, independent since 1974, setting the standard for creating and producing innovative, high-quality, caring equipment designed to inspire and ease your journey. Osprey PAX is committed to the local communities where it operates and to protecting the wild places its customers love to explore. For more information, visit OspreyPAX.com.
Good morning and welcome to Pandora's Box. This morning we're going to be talking about the Gold King mine spill and how the Animas River is faring, something that's on everybody's mind in this area. On August the 6th, the Environmental Protection Agency was working with heavy equipment at the Gold King mine north of Silverton, Colorado, to secure an entrance to the Gold King mine. And everyone knows what happened then. An accidental breach caused 3 million gallons of mine waste to spill into Cement Creek, which runs into the Animas River and onto the San Juan River into New Mexico before it converges with the Colorado River in Utah. Since then, the story has been all over the global news. In Du Monde, the French journal, magazine journal, and on the air in the European Union and as far away as China. So on the front page of the Durango Herald this morning, there is a reader poll which reads as follows. Do you think the Animas River is safe? And the options for answers are yes, or as long as you don't fish or drink from it, or as long as you don't touch the sediment, or the final answer, it's not safe. So here this morning to help us answer that question is Marcy Bidwell, the executive director of the Mountain Studies Institute. The Mountain Studies Institute was on the ground on August 6th at 10 a.m., even before the plume reached Durango, to do some pre-spill sampling. And I'm going to let Marcy take it from there. Good morning, Marcy. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Lynn. Thank you for having me.
So, Marcy, can you take it from there? Can you let us know what Mountain Studies Institute did on the morning of August the 6th and what you've been doing since then?
Absolutely. So Mountain Studies Institute is an independent, nonprofit mountain research and education center. We have offices in Silverton and Durango, and we strive to serve the mountain communities of the San Juan Mountains. So we work from Telluride to Pagosa Springs to Farmington, looking at issues that really concern our communities because we care so much about our mountains. So, for instance, when we heard of the plume that was headed towards Durango that Thursday morning, we did what every reactional person would do. We grabbed plastic bottles and we raced to the river, which actually may not be everyone's immediate reaction, but for us scientists, the first thing that we wanted to know was, you know, what is the condition of the river before the plume arrived? What can we learn about it during the plume? How long would it last? What would we see? And then what would be the effects that follow it? And so that day, we started collecting water quality surface samples from the river, and we also started collecting macroinvertebrates. The macroinvertebrates are the small, tiny fish that live on the bottom of the river, and they are a really important indicator because they are so closely tied to water quality, of course, and then also the sediment that is on the bottom of the river. And they are a nice long-term indicator of the health of our environment.
So when you got those samples, I'm assuming you have analyzed them and also analyzed samples that you've gotten after the plume arrived. Can you talk about the differences between those samples? I'm on your website right now, and there's a beautiful graph of initial water quality results that you have displayed, which is the best graph I've seen so far, looking at the pre- and post-samples for several toxic and non-and, well, I'm going to just say they're all toxic in certain amounts, but for many minerals.
Oh, well, thank you. We are still analyzing those results and still comparing them to ongoing information. You know, one of the things that is hard to believe in today's sort of instantaneous society is that it does actually take some time to take a sample for metals and then send it to the lab and actually get those results back. With our iPhones and our cell phones, we so expect to be able to just instantaneously, like, scan the river with a barcode, if you will, and know exactly what's in it. And that is just still not the way it works for understanding metal concentrations. So the graph that we have from our results show basically what we learned is that the plume, as it left Silverton, was somewhat compacted to about a 6 to 8 hour window. But as that plume moves downstream, it dilutes, it spreads out. And so the plume reached Durango and our monitoring site that was within the city limits around 10 p.m. on that Thursday night. And we saw evidence of the plume and that moment just by being able to observe the change in color, which at 10 p.m. was by headlamp. And then also through watching the pH number, we saw a slight dip in pH. The original pH prior to the plume arriving was around 7.5, 7.8 that day. And then as the plume arrived, we saw that number dip to 7.3 and then into 6.8 as the lowest point that we actually measured. And I have to let the public know we're in the process of updating that graph that you see there. So the pHs that are listed show 5.8 as the lowest, and that is from a lab test that's not actually relevant to the field measurement of pH in the river.
So for our listeners, Marcy, can you help us understand the importance of the pH of river water and why that matters so much? And what about the mining spill? You know, what caused that drop in pH? What is it in the quote-unquote toxic plume that makes the acidity of the water increase?
Absolutely. And the thing that I think is important to note as well is that from our results, the pH had returned above 7 within a 12-hour period, which is normal on a scale of 1 to 14. Normal water is in that sort of middle range of 7 to 8 is what we mostly consider drinking water in those states. pH matters as an indicator because it's just a really quick and simplistic way of understanding what's in solution within our water column. As metals dissolve, and particularly iron, which was the largest constituent in the plume, it lowers the pH. And once the pH drops, then other metals can go into solution and become therefore soluble and absorbed through the water column rather than a solid form of sediment.
So if you're just listening in, this is Pandora's Box, and I'm talking to Marcy Bidwell, Executive Director of the Animas Mountain Institute, about the Animas River spill and the scientist's view of what really happened in the river. We're going to take a short break, and we will be right back. This is Pandora's Box, and we are back with Marcy Bidwell, Executive Director of the Animas Mountain Institute. We're talking about the Gold King Mine River spill and the quality of water in the Animas River now and into the future. Marcy, can you talk about, we were just looking at your website and looking at the graph of metals pre-spill and post-spill, and we do see a significant rise in metals like lead, arsenic, cadmium, and there's a little blip in the mercury levels. So can you address that from your perspective in terms of, you know, both the EPA director and the CDPHE, the Colorado Department of Public Health and the Environment, have said that the metal levels have returned to pre-spill levels. Is that a good thing?
That is a loaded question, but it's an important one for us to look at and address. I mean, one of the things that's really important about this issue is to understand that this is a watershed that has geologically existing, naturally occurring metals. That's Red Mountain is red because of the arsenic and iron sulfate that are in the geology of the area. And over the course of time, there have always been metals coming through this system. What mining has done in the last 100, 150 years has sped up that process. And then what we saw with the Gold King release is, again, a compacting of that release over time. It also has a second phenomena, which is that the release has two things that came with it. One is the acid mine drainage, the water that has been sitting in the mine, where the metals had an opportunity to be exposed to both water and air and therefore go into solution. And so we have a more concentrated form. And then we also have the sediment, which washed out of a creek, cement creek, out of the area immediately below the mine, which would have also had higher levels of some tailings, some naturally occurring rock, and some other precipitate over time. And so we saw those all come down in a very short period of time through this event.
Now, I know that for many people listening, or those in the Durango area and specifically downstream, one of the concerns is the sediment that's been deposited by the Gold King spill. Is Animas Mountain Studies testing the sediment for metals, and can you talk about the potential for long-term problems from sediment dissolving?
So Mountain Studies Institute has been collecting water quality samples, field parameters from the river, which is temperature and pH, and then also macro invertebrates. And we are not collecting sediment. However, there are several agencies who are. EPA is collecting sediment, the Environmental Protection Agency, as well as Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. Both of those have posted their sediment data on their website and are working to provide interpretations for the public as to how to understand that information.
Now, this brings up an important question. Is Mountain Studies going to comment on that data? Because there is the question in everybody's mind that because the Environmental Protection Agency is liable for the spill, are they the appropriate agency to be collecting and reporting this data?
This is a really good question, and one of the things that I think is important is that there are multiple people that are collecting data. And then also the data that the samples that the EPA are collecting are being processed by an independent laboratory that is certified for their quality assurance and their credibility as a testing facility. And so the results are not actually being tested by, or there are checks and balances in the system, shall we say.
So who I have gone on the EPA site myself, and like Dan Olson, the executive director of the San Juan Citizens Alliance, I am underwhelmed by the amount of information interpreting the data and the safety of the sediment. Is the Animas Mountain Institute, going to comment on that?
So our organization is called Mountain Studies Institute, not the Animas Mountain Institute. But to answer your question more directly, we are following along with the study of the sediment, and we're very concerned about it in particular because of the close relationship with the macro invertebrates to the bottom of the river. We are not toxicologists per se, and we do not specialize in sediment specifically. And so we will be taking a triangulated approach to trying to understand the sediments and the long-term risk. We are very concerned about the sediment that's in the bottom of the river, and particularly exposure over time, which in the world of environmental risk is referred to as a chronic exposure. That means that the bugs that live on the bottom of the river every day have a very close and intimate relationship with that sediment, of course. And so as they're exposed to it long-term, they could accumulate it in their bodies, and then they could pass that up the food chain through to fish and then other organisms. We won't be able to see that kind of effect in the macro invertebrates for a longer period of time. It could be a month. It could be years in the making. Our initial results show that there are still some of the most sensitive insects still living in the river, and we take that as a very good sign at first blush. But I often like to say, even though I can see those those bugs are still there. I don't know if they have a hangover, and I can't tell if they're having a really bad day or a really, really bad day. So it's a very simple study at this point in time because we can't actually ask them how they feel.
And that is a shame, but we don't have the technology to do that. So, Marcy, as a scientist, what would be your best outcome for this situation? You know, we've got water still coming out of Cement Creek that is heavily loaded with toxic metals. And we have a long history of contamination of the Animas River from mining. And that contamination has gone as far downstream as Utah. And, you know, in the news this morning, the Navajo farmers have decided to shut off their irrigation for a year. What is the best outcome we can hope for and work for as people who care about our rivers and streams and mountains and the quality of our health?
You know, one of the things that I've heard used as a term of art is that this has very much been a visual crisis as much as an environmental incident. And the reason that's said is because at least 85% or so of the metals that were carried by the river were iron and iron oxides. And as far as the heavy metals on the list of concern, we see it as a visual disturbance. That has really raised awareness for many people who, yes, we knew they were mining up in the mountains, but how that connects with our communities and how far the fingers of that connection goes far extends beyond what was very abstract to very real and literal connections today. And so I think the best outcome is that we take action on that new awareness. We have the conversations with our communities and neighbors all the way down to the Navajo Nation about how we are all tied to this resource of the Animas River. And we think hard about the choices that we make and how we participate in the public process related to cleanup of mine sites here in the Animas, but around the San Juans and around the state of Colorado and nationally. We have an aging infrastructure related to mining in a lot of places, hard rock mining in particular.
And, well, Marcy, this is unfortunately we have to wrap up. I would love to speak to you again on Pandora's Box, but this has been really enlightening and informative. Thank you, Marcy Bidwell, Executive Director for the Animas Mountain Studies. Excuse me, the Mountain Studies Institute. I don't know why I want to call you the Animas Mountain Study, but you are the Mountain Studies Institute. And we'll have you back on the show. This has been Lynn Patrick for Pandora's Box.